Welcome to another episode of Small School Big Tech. This is episode 26 at Q at Macworld.
We are recording live to tape or hard drive. This is Andrew Schwab, another Schwab on Twitter.
Along with Danny Silva, I teach ag on Twitter.
And we have been invited to Q, the Q event at Macworld. It's an all-day event. We are in a room full of educators.
We're up right next to the stage in the corner with four mics ready to interview.
Okay, so this show is going to be different. We're going to be going in and out of interviews and maybe some live audio recordings. And anyway, I'll just have to edit it together and we'll see how it comes out.
And so look for the additional segments. We might be cutting it up into segments.
Yeah, so we'll see how it gets posted and hope you enjoy it. And we'd like to thank Q and Mike Lawrence and John Crippo and everybody who made it possible for us to be here.
Thank you.
We are recording on two computers.
Okay. Well, let me get my recording going then.
Oh, okay. We're not recording on two computers yet. We will.
We are on two computers now. Audacity and GarageBand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Oh, he has got radio voice. He's going to make us look really bad.
Disneyland proudly presents the Main Street Electrical Parade in just 5 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet for this whole interview.
Okay, Mike, would you like to take over? I can move out of my spot here.
Well, we have Mr. Mike Lawrence, the executive director of Q, I believe. He is here, and we are talking to him right before the Q Macworld Education Extravaganza gets started here. And I just want to say we're very excited to be here, and we thank you for letting us be here and do this. And
yes, extremely thankful.
Well, actually, no one ever asked, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we show up at places, too.
No, we're thrilled to have you here. This is great. We're just moments away.
Yeah.
The anticipation is palpable.
Oh, yes.
So this is awesome. And have you been on the I know you were on the panel, or have you done that already?
That was Wednesday.
It's
the first year Macworld did this, and they call it the industry panel, and I was honored to be asked. And my role was to represent the education industry and sort of forecast out where we saw Apple going in that space. And
Very cool.
It was a fun opportunity to dream and think and imagine, and it was a blast. And so that was Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, they opened up the exhibit hall, and the users conference went. And so the thinking was, let's get the journalists out, the folks who cover the Mac industry, and have them there Wednesday to sort of get a sneak peek as to what's coming. And that's what Paul Kent put it all together from IDG, and it was quite exciting to be part of that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Spread the word for education a little bit there.
And I plugged today, too, although no one reported that when they commented on my talk. I said, oh, make sure you come on Saturday, and...
Yeah, well, maybe we'll get a couple here.
I think we'll get some walk-ins.
I think we have lots of people starting to show up, and it's gonna be an exciting day. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is ADE and GCT craziness going on today. It's
I'm representing. I don't have my GCT pin. I could put that on though.
Oh, there you go. Don't show Andrew though. He might heckle you.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm just jealous. That's all.
Here, I'll just put it over here.
I think we have quite a few future ADEs in the room, too.
You know, and that's one thing I have to say. You know, since he's not within earshot, John has done a tremendous job pulling together the A team. I mean, I tried to explain to people the lineup he's got of presenters and topics. It's like the top flight in each area. So it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait to see these guys get going here. And I think we're going to have a lot of educators get inspired and see some really cool stuff today.
And what's awesome is it's all in one room.
All in one room, one day, and you can move in and out and jump back and forth. And John's got it's going to be hopping, I think, the whole day. He's got raffles to keep people engaged. He's got a roaming mic, and he's going to be out there sort of Donahue-ing it in the audience. it's exciting. It should be fun.
He is the host with the most, isn't he?
He is. I realized when I had met my match last year and asked him to come and speak, and he said, so I get that microphone, right? And I said, oh. So he took it, and he wandered out on the stage, and I thought, okay, I don't need to do this anymore. Next year, all John Grippo.
Yeah, he's definitely the master of ceremonies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this, and of course, Rockstar Superhero Edition next year coming up.
In August, I think at the first week of August.
Yeah.
Minarets High School. Don't miss it.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
That's if
don't
for anybody,
forget your cape.
Yeah. No capes.
Dr. Go.
They get caught in engines. But it should be if it's anything like last year, which was just incredible. I mean the Rockstar conference last year was probably the most fun I've ever had at a conference. It was just 3 days of having a blast and learning a whole bunch of stuff. So I think this year is probably gonna be even better. So
Thank you very much, and it looks like we're getting ready to start, so we appreciate you jumping on.
I'm happy to. Thanks for pulling me in.
All right. All right.
Thanks. Well, that was Mike Lawrence, the executive director of Q, and we're about to get started here. We've got people filtering in, so it should be an exciting day. I see lots of Mac laptops, as we should at Q Macworld.
Okay, how do I get a radio voice like Mike Lawrence?
I think you have to be born with it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Come on, man. You're interrupting my commentary. Haven't you ever watched Leo
commentary.
When they do live stuff? You got to comment on what's going on. You can't have dead air.
We right? are not live broadcasting, and we're going to cut half of this stuff. So,
That means I got to work. So I think we should just talk for the next 8 hours. Then I won't have to cut anything, and we can just post it.
So we'll do introductions all over the place, and... Yeah, this will be crazy.
I think you might have the better audio track. My audio is, especially when guests are moving away from the mic.
So to tell everybody what we're doing here is we have an 8-port board that we have a USB out to a MacBook with GarageBand. And on that 8-port board, we also have an auxiliary RCA out that we're running into a secondary MacBook. And we are doing a secondary recording on Audacity. So we're going to check out, see what's better.
Hey, Chris.
And Chris Bell just stepped up to the booth, so we're going to get him on right now. Oh, well, he's got
other stuff to do.
Yeah.
That's okay.
He's a busy man. Don't forget to unpause.
I'm not pausing. I'm just going to let it run.
Okay.
We'll see if we run out of disk space. Well,
I hope not.
Well, I'm excited. We have somebody that I've been following on Twitter for quite a while. Dominique, you're going to have to introduce yourself because I can't pronounce your last name.
Dominique Tremblay.
Okay.
It's a French-Canadian name.
Dominique Tremblay is here. And, well, welcome. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
So that's exciting. You're here all the way from Canada.
Yes, yes. I live close to Toronto, and I work as a K-12 curriculum consultant. Been teaching for 13 years in the grade 7 and 8 class.
Okay. Yeah, I've been following you on Twitter for quite a while. You've always got
Thank
some
you.
Good stuff. What's your Twitter handle? We'll plug your Twitter
it's
handle for
D
you.
It's D_Tremblay.
You want to spell that last name?
T-R-E-M-B-L-A-Y.
All right. So a couple questions. Why are you here today? And then you have a project that I'm kind of interested in hearing about. So
Yeah, I'm actually here at Macworld just to discover all the new technologies and network with teachers who also have a passion for technology.
Right.
And the new project that I'm working on is a social network for young scientists, and it's going to be called SMARTS.
SMARTS. So it's kind of interesting, and this is happening up in Canada right now. I noticed you guys are really innovative up there when it comes to this kind of stuff. So SMARTS, tell us more about what that is.
Well, we already have Facebook, we already have Twitter, but
sure.
we want to offer a platform where young scientists would feel at home, would be safe, and would interact with other young scientists. So it's going to be a social network. It's not a copy clone of Facebook, but it will involve some of the features that Facebook has, like photo sharing and video sharing and wall post. But it will be based on getting your project done for the science fair and interacting. And one of the social network feature that we see is the blog. And we've decided to call ours the PLOG, which will be the project log. And as the student work on their science fair project, they will work in public with all the other kids so they can get some feedback from other kids. And once their project is all done as a PLOG, then we will have an export that will let them export that project to our Canada-wide science fair registration system.
But very cool.
I'm actually happy that I talked to people from the U.S. because we are open source and we offer this for free, and we are also looking for partnership with other science fair.
Oh, okay.
A few weeks ago, we actually did a partnership with the Google Science Fair.
Okay, oh, yeah, wow, I was going to ask you about that.
Exactly. So when we saw Google come into Canada, we thought, should we try to compete against them or should we partner with them?
Yeah,
and I think our option was to
to partner, obviously.
To partner.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Because I don't think anyone can compete with Google.
No.
Not from education, that
but,
is.
But, I mean, it's great to have that kind of partnership. I mean, especially as far as getting the word out there. And so I'm kind of interested, the PLOG, is this, obviously Facebook and social networking is everybody's doing it now. So I think this makes total sense. And specifically focused on science, engineering, right, these areas. You know, in the United States, we have an issue. We call it STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. And there's always a big push to get kids more involved in this. So I think this is a perfect opportunity to kind of meet them where they are, which is, you know, on the web, in the social networks, and get them engaged.
And we will actually have some educators and some Canada-wide Science Fair alumni, which will be part of SMARTS, and they will be there to support kids who are doing Science Fair projects.
Wow.
So not only they get supports from their peers, they will also get support from alumni and educators.
Wow, that's exciting. So like built-in mentoring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's going to be more than a Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, when we went to meet our web developer at first, we've described the project, and he basically said, well, you want a Facebook, a Twitter, a Foursquare, and a YouTube all in one.
Well, you know, that sounds really exciting, Dominic. Is there a website that people can check that out at yet? Or
Yes, youthscience.ca.
Youthscience.ca.
Now, if they want to be part of our special team that is alpha testing the system right now, they can write directly to me. Maybe from Twitter, D_Trembley. They can get in touch with me, and I'll give them the information to be part of our alpha testing. And in May, we will have the final release with the system fully working for everyone to use.
Okay, so May. So that sounds exciting. Well, I want to thank you, Dominique, for stopping by and talking to us about the SMARTS project.
My pleasure.
And I think we're about to get started here, so I'll let you get back and enjoy the show.
If you
want to come back later at the end and let us know what you thought, that would be great, too.
Definitely.
And great to meet you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
So this is cool. There's actually student involvement. Students are here helping with the show.
So we got Minarets High School. We got some kids.
I believe also students from Avery Middle School are here as well.
Oh, there with their iPads
sitting in the front row.
I just noticed that. Yes, very awesome.
We will have to see if we can get Michael Wells on the podcast here. He looks like he is very attentively paying attention, maybe hoping to win some prizes.
But there's too many prizes going on.
They are doing some very interesting stuff at Avery Middle School with their one-to-one iPad program, which we have talked about on the podcast before, but I think it would be great to have him on. And we have E. Calhoun on the Twitter feed saying, yay for prizes. I think this is going to be a prize-packed day.
All right. We have people that are cheating. They had their posts ready to go.
Cued. Is there an auto-tweet feature?
Yeah, it's some automatically set up their, like TweetDeck will automatically put in the hashtag for you.
Oh, that would be nice. Maybe I should be using that. All right, prizes are going out. People are excited.
Who's got number six? Brian wants to give up a quiz.
Next year, I think I just want to sit in the audience and have fun.
Brian, you're awesome.
So who can explain the concept of following someone on Twitter? Anybody want to share with us? Oh, okay.
You know, Danny, I know you're typing away furiously on Twitter at the moment, but I have to say, I love this introduction to Twitter for people who don't know anything about Twitter. They've really got the audience engaged right now, which is great. It's also nice. We got the room filling out. I think, it's Saturday morning. People are starting to filter in. Probably just woke up and rolled out of bed.
I think there's a lot of people that are running in late. We got people staggering in late. It's a Saturday. So.
Well, and if you've been here for all the 3 days or 4 days of Macworld, I came in Thursday night late, and I'm pretty exhausted myself, so sometimes doing the conferences can actually be a bit tiring, but it's real exciting because you get to meet people, you get to see a whole bunch of cool stuff. Hopefully we'll talk about that later, what I saw on the expo floor and what some of our guests hopefully have seen that looks really exciting. I can tell you right off the bat, a lot of what I saw were iPad cases. I didn't know there were that many ways to protect your iPad or hang it on the wall or hold it with one hand.
It was iPhone and iPad craziness.
Yeah, there were cases all over the place. I didn't get any free ones, unfortunately, but you know, I did get I stopped by the Drobo booth, and I must say, I
was going to talk to you about that. I saw that tweet.
I said I was a happy Drobo customer, and the lady at the booth, she was like, you have the original 4-port? And I was like, yeah, I got two of them at my school. And she's like, oh, hang on. And she disappeared for about 30 seconds, came back and, you know, gave me a gel skin for one of the Drobos, a couple Fode stands. You know, just really nice. I mean, she just gave me some stuff.
I need to go over there. I have the original. Plus, I just bought a second one.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But I need to go over there for tech support, too, because I think I have a PC problem.
I think you have issues.
That's why I've switched to a Mac.
Yeah.
I hope
they don't call our names. I can't hear anything outside of the headphones.
So let's talk about Mac and PC for a second and technical issues. I have just had a problem, and it just popped up.
Only one problem?
You know.
Oh, we're talking about PCs.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's popped up once in a while in the past, but like right now it's just constant. It is telling me my USB hub on my computer and ports, I've reverted to USB 1.
Now, but this isn't the only problem you have. You've had other problems related to USB, or?
Well, I switched out my power supply because I thought I wasn't getting a good power supply. My fan died, and I was having some issues, so I put a new power supply, a little bit hotter power supply.
My first question would be, how old is the computer?
It is 6 years old.
Okay. Buy a new motherboard.
You think that's it?
Just replace. Yeah, well, remember when I originally gave you recommendation, I said either power supply or motherboard.
Right? Okay.
And
yeah.
You've replaced the power supply.
Yes.
And you're still having problems.
But I have read on the forums that it is a driver's issue. Once the USB 1 drivers get reverted back on, that they're next to impossible to get rid of.
So when was the last time you reinstalled Windows?
6 years ago.
Okay. We'll do that first then.
Well, the biggest thing I'm thinking first I might try is I have not done the Service Pack 3 upgrade.
Well, I mean, at this point, 6 years, I have never run XP for that long.
Well, I understand that, and that's I'm just not
you just don't want to rebuild the whole thing.
I don't want to rebuild what all the programs and all the software and all the hacks that I did to get everything running like I wanted to, and that's my biggest issue right now.
Right.
And basically, if I did a clone, I'd have the same problem if it's a driver's issue, right?
Yeah. I think you just need to bite the bullet, reinstall XP clean, do Service Pack 3, and then reinstall your apps.
Yes, I know. I've been dreading this for like the last year, so that's going to be a
But honestly, if you're going to do that, just buy a new motherboard.
Yeah, but that comes with a whole new other issue.
Yeah, all the other extraneous hardware. But man, come on, 6 years, you got to upgrade.
Yeah, but I have a 27-inch Mac now that sits in front of me, and I drool over instead of the PC. My PC is like a secondary thing now. It just records TV.
Buy one of the motherboards that you can do Hackintosh with. There's an easy CD now. You just do a drop-down for what motherboard you have, and it installs everything for you.
Yeah, but then I can't use my...
that's right. You're using Beyond.
My PC
Beyond TV,
software.
Yeah. I guess you're just stuck between a rock and a hard place. Maybe it's time you just went to Plex. Oh, you don't have internet.
Yeah, my internet sucks.
Man,
you know,
just,
we've talked about this before. Satellite internet. We have more than one issue at my house.
Okay, listeners, I'm afraid this is going to be the sob story for Danny segment.
Yeah, you know.
Well, don't forget, we're in a room with probably 100?
I would
more
guess,
than 100.
I wouldn't guess about 75 right now.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. So there's quite a few people in the room, and most of them have laptops or iPhones or iPads.
Well, we have three running right now, so alone, plus our iPhones. So
yeah, so if the Wi-Fi holds, I'll be pretty impressed.
It dropped yesterday, didn't it?
There were some reports of outages, but I never lost connectivity.
It might have been a couple of access points, I would probably guess.
Yeah, maybe some overloading on... isolated assets.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about last podcast. One thing that...
you can hear us. Maybe keep it down.
One thing about...
Okay, we're good. We got to do a sound check.
We're
in the left front corner.
But we're behind a speaker, so we sound loud to us, but...
Because we can't hear, yeah.
But they're in front of this. That's why I put us where we're at.
Well, plus we have headphones on, so it's really hard to gauge sound.
Yeah. Well, plus we're excited to be at Macworld.
No, this is awesome. I do have to thank Mr. John Carippo for...
most definitely.
Basically saying, come out, and gave us a table and said, do your thing, which we weren't sure what that was going to be. So I'm really excited to be here. And I don't know. This is kind of interesting. It's new.
It's part of my healthy apps. I have a app called Waterlogged, and it says, remember, have you drank enough water today?
I was going to say, who's tweeting that to us? yes, I do have water, thank you. I have it in my bag, but...
Okay, so I'm gonna bring up last show while they're still doing this, and
okay, we're while Danny's doing that, I'll just so
a little shameless self promotion here.
It's Chris Bell, and who's the other presenter? I don't know that I know her.
I would have to look it up. Do you have the Macworld stuff up?
Show notes. Okay, bad me. Where is it? All right, I am going to qmacworld.wikispaces.com, and we have Chris Bell and Carol Ann McGuire are doing the Twitter course. So they are up right now, basically introducing the crowd to Twitter, so which is really cool, and talking about use cases. So they have all of their stuff up on the qmacworld.wikispaces.com website, so I encourage you to check that out. If you don't know what Twitter is, then it's a good intro. And actually, the crowd is, I think, really engaged at the moment. They're really explaining Twitter for educators in a really good way.
Okay, I'm having some serious problems. It seems like every time I try to go somewhere, I get some problems. So qmacworld.wikispaces.
qmacworld.wikispaces.com.
I forgot the S in Wikispaces.
I know you can't spell.
I can't. I would always get in trouble in fifth grade for that.
You're pretty good with three-letter acronyms like GCT, though.
Yeah, you know. Okay, so a little shameless self-promotion. We were talking about...
we're talking about our last podcast.
Yeah, I had brought up... Actually, we haven't even posted that yet. Hopefully, it'll be posted before the Macworld one is.
Okay, I will not do what I did with 17 and 18 and flip them. I will post 25 first and then this one.
Okay, because it's basically done. So anyhow, we talked about using Chrome, or I talked about how possibly using Chrome in a lab, setting up a generic user account.
Oh, wait. You're going to plug your blog, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to talk about... And
Did you get feedback on that one?
I did get feedback.
Okay, go ahead. I'll listen.
A little bit of feedback, but I also installed it. So on a couple of computers in the lab. So you set up a generic account on Google Apps or Gmail, whatever you want to use, and you sync your Chrome browser with that account at your teacher station as well as the lab computers. So now you can bookmark a site, you can install a theme, different things like that, and the students' lab computers will also get those bookmarks.
Right.
Themes, yeah. Extensions, whatever.
It's a good way to sync.
And so couple of the questions were, about instead of Digo, why don't you want to use Digo? And the biggest thing is login. I didn't want to have to worry about another login for students. The other thing was, does it sync quickly? And I put it on two computers in the lab. And what happens is if I bookmark a site, it slowly will sync. But if you want the kids to instantly see it, they would have to hide the bookmarks bar and then make it visible again, and it will show up.
So there's some kind of refresh period built in.
Exactly.
Exactly. Overnight?
No. Faster than that. I would love to time it, but I didn't have time.
I'm just thinking, practically speaking, if you want to add bookmarks for a lesson or something.
Oh, instant.
Okay.
If a student was to open the browser after you have put in the bookmark, they will have the bookmark instantly.
Right.
If they have the browser open and you put in a brand new bookmark, they would have to hide and then show the bookmarks bar to be able to see that bookmark.
Oh, okay, I know.
Now, I did not try it in a folder, and I'm wondering if they would see it instantly in a folder because you'd have to actually browse, go through the bookmarks.
Don't you have to do a refresh on the folders to see the new stuff that comes in?
No, I don't know. Because if I bookmark a site from home and I go to school the next day, I never shut down my browser.
And it's there.
And it's there.
So it's doing some kind of update.
It's some kind of...
it's got to be a client-side check-in.
Yeah. So it does work. It's not instantaneous, but if you train your students to use it correctly, or if you're just setting up bookmarks ahead of time, it works awesome. Here's what a couple of the issues that I can see that would happen is... I would not sync everything. Mm-hmm. You have some options in the bookmarks bar. or for syncing, and those options would be you can sync apps, you can sync autofill, you can sync bookmarks, extensions, preferences, and themes. And so if I was to sync, I would sync apps, extensions, and bookmarks probably only, because what happened is I left for lunch and came back, and my browser was actually different because a kid had changed the theme and it auto-updated.
Oh, it synced the theme change.
It synced the theme change, and so now I had a different theme, which they picked a really nice theme, so I left it.
Right, but probably not something that you would want to sync then.
Exactly. The other thing was they had bookmarked a game from one of the browsers.
That's right, because this is a two-way thing.
It's
so anything
thing.
That they, yeah. That's
so you would have to train your students to only bookmark things that are for the class.
And there's no way to tell who's doing the bookmarking.
No.
So I'm going to go back to the whole thing where I would love to see this in an admin panel as a
yes,
as a feature,
or be able to sync the bookmark or bookmarks folders would be awesome, because then you would see who the owner of the bookmark would be.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't see it as a big problem, because kids won't bookmark, shouldn't be bookmarking things bad.
They may not even know how to bookmark.
That's the other thing. And the thing is, like extensions, I started looking around for extensions to use with the students.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of extensions are based on your user account, which you would use the sync account, not the account that you logged into your Gmail with.
Right.
So if you're using a generic account and you would put like the Gmail extension, it would be looking at the Gmail for that. For the
generic
account.
User, not
exactly.
For the student
so
account.
So there isn't, it's not perfect, but for a quick way to not have to have students log in and sync some bookmarks, I think it works out. And
it sounds like you're trying to force it, Mr. GCT.
But I'm going to actually use it in class, I think.
Well, that's good. I mean, if
I'm
it works
set
out.
It up.
I think as long as you understand what the limitations and potential issues are, great.
And that's the thing, is I understand that.
I don't know that I'd feel comfortable rolling that to a non-technical teacher or doing an in-service on it yet.
It's not a school-wide thing. It's more of a techie teacher thing. If you can know what's going on, you can get it to work correctly. And yes, I did blog about it. And
go ahead, plug it.
It was a good iteachag.com.
Because, you know, the 80-some-odd listeners that we have will probably all follow your blog anyway. So
probably so. I'm trying to hit 1,000.
I know they don't follow mine.
I'm trying to hit 1,000 users for this month, which was like a record, like way over the top record.
Well, all I got to do is get everybody here to go to your blog, and then they just need to tell 10 of their friends.
Once,
and then 10
right?
of their friends. Yeah, once. Because once you go there, I mean, there's no real reason to go back.
No, because I don't post that often. No, actually, I'm trying. I'm trying to do the post a week thing.
You are doing better. Do you have your GCT video linked on your blog? Because if it was me.
Yes, I do.
I would put that video front and center on your main page all the time.
Which one are you talking about?
Your
my dirty
GTA,
job ones?
Your dirty job one, and I would actually cut it to the last 20 seconds.
And put it on my blog or on
yep.
YouTube?
Nope, put it on your blog as the main page, and then have it loop.
Nah. No, we're going too far now.
No, man, come on. That thing is, I wonder how you drive traffic with that. It needs to be on America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah. I get very little traffic from YouTube. I don't think I drive back to YouTube that much traffic.
Well, if you think about it, there's, 8 billion YouTube videos
yeah.
a month or something views? So
I
your one video is
my,
probably not
my YouTube channel has only had like maybe a couple thousand hits ever.
Oh, I see some activity behind us. It looks like prizes,
uh-oh.
Big bags of prizes
cool,
are getting ready
cool,
to go
cool.
out.
And the thing that drives my usage up lately is comments with links back to my blog.
Well, to get comments, you have to have readers.
No. Not comments on my blog.
Oh, comments from other people's
comments
blogs.
On other blogs, especially major blogs like Lifehacker and Mashable, ReadWriteWeb.
Well, now you're just showing off, man.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm talking about I'm putting comments on one of their
you're
articles.
You're commenting on articles that link back to your... Oh,
And I get
all right, Mr.
lots
link
of stuff.
Bait.
The other thing is SEO. Is that mm-hmm. am I saying that right? I almost said SOE.
No, it's SEO, search engine optimization.
Yeah. If you, I found out the longer your titles, the better on a blog post.
Uh-huh.
And use as many keywords as possible in that title. And Google will be hitting you constantly. Because especially if it's specific stuff, like education-based
right.
stuff, like I put in QR codes, Google Calendar. Well, anytime QR codes and Google Calendar get searched for, I seem to get a hit, it seems like.
Well, and I think that's some really good advice. It's not that we're expert bloggers or anything, but if you're seeing that, that makes sense to have your blog titles be as specific as possible.
Well, and that's the thing, is my titles are like almost on the verge of being a run-on sentence.
You know, this ties into, I think it was Twig I was listening to, I'm not sure the episode, but they were talking about search engine optimization and the fact that, you know, they have these content farms out there that they basically search for, they look for the keywords that people are searching
that,
on, and then they...
That are being searched,
they
yeah.
write the content to fit those
so
terms.
So then they get the hits, yeah.
They get the hits,
yeah.
But that is something that they do. Like, they have keywords in their titles, like how-to and all that kind of stuff to drive traffic. And so it's really, you know, what they say is if you're not on Google, you don't exist, right? So getting better search results on Google is important. And I think it goes to, you know, how do schools market themselves on the Internet with social media? You do a whole presentation on this. Right,
pretty much.
I mean,
yeah,
how to get your
social media to it's titled "Newsletters to Social Media." Yeah,
yeah, because
building,
I mean,
your communication. Yeah,
you know, one thing that is really important for schools is to communicate and get out there with the community and have engagement with the community. And as more and more parents and kids now move to social networking, it's really important for schools to engage in that medium. You know, I don't think in today's age it's sufficient to send out a paper newsletter. You know, I don't think that that, for me, in my mind, that just doesn't cut it anymore. It's if you're saying you're engaging your community, I don't think a newsletter does it.
Well, like what we hear from the students is that the...
So we have a Audacity...
freeze up.
That's okay. It's on the backup. So if you can stop it and get it going again, we should be okay. Whoa, whoa, loud.
Yeah, how many mobile devices?
Where was that coming up?
Yeah,
oh, turn the speakers down. Okay, so Danny is playing around with Audacity right now. Just
so anyhow,
go to the end and start again.
Our students tell us that most of the newsletters that go home get thrown away automatically. So,
because nobody's reading them.
Yeah, I'm gonna save the Audacity track and then start it over.
Okay. Well, we're recording on this track. This is gonna be a really interesting edit job on the podcast, and we'll just have to see how it turns out. I'm probably not gonna spend a whole bunch of time in post because I'm gonna have to listen to this at least once, and if this is an 8-hour record,
oh come on, you don't want to listen for 8 hours.
As much as I like to hear myself talk, no.
Should I do an export audio export out or just the
AUP?
No,
just save it. Just save it as an EPS. Just save the project.
AUP, you mean?
Or an AUP. Save it and then...
I'll do a new.
Yeah.
Okay, back recording again.
Okay, so...
So anyhow...
you were saying.
I was... yeah, I don't know. We were talking about blog posts and how to get drive traffic. And if you are... grabbing specific stuff and putting keywords together, you're going to get the traffic. So if...
Hey, look, you're up. You're on the Twitter. You're on the big screen.
I'm on the Twitter, huh?
You are on the Twitter. Well, it's cool. They got the... is that TweetDeck with the multiple columns? They got TweetDeck up, and they are displaying it to the
yes,
crowd.
They're looking at TweetDeck, and it's from AppScout, was the search. So I'm going to see what I was actually tweeting at that point.
I'm sure it was something profound.
That or anytime I use AppScout, it's something either I found that I think I want everybody to see or something.
Does AppScout automatically tweet out? No. All right, well, the Twitter chorus just wrapped up, and we have a few-minute break. And then Last Teacher Standing is going to come up next, and that's going to be with John Carippo, Bert Lowe, Mike Niehoff, and Melissa Hudson. So that looks like there's going to be a lot of audience participation. I think they're handing out clickers right now. And let's see, my co-host, Danny Silva, has gone down to the Mac Expo floor to check it out since this was his first day here. We'll see what he comes back to report with. And we'll see if we get anybody interested in sitting down for a few minutes to talk to me or not. But looks like a good crowd, good turnout. I think the Twitter chorus was a great introduction to Twitter, if I haven't said that already. And I saw some new people on Twitter, so that's always good. And I think it's an excellent way to build a PLN, Personal Learning Network, and definitely for a professional learning community, it just gives you more access to information out there. And there's so many great educators here right now. So, and one way to keep connected with them after an event like this is to follow them on Twitter. So it's pretty cool. All right.
Well, thanks for checking out part one of Q at Macworld. Please make sure to check out part two.
Roll the music.
Music